Malachim Aleph Perek Ches Pasuk Mem Dalet. Ki yetzei amecha milchama al oyvei b'derech asher tish lachem. When the Jewish people go out to war against their enemy in the way where you send them, v'ispalu el Hashem derech ha'ir asher bachart abo v'abayis asher banisi lishmecha. So over here he's talking in a situation where there's two possible wars they can fight. One possible war they can fight is when they're going out to war still in Eretz Yisrael, meaning the enemy, they're still in Eretz Yisrael, right? And the enemy is attacking them, so at that point, their davening is going to go through the Beis HaMikdash in a much easier way, because they're still in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, this is one way of that they can possibly be in trouble. Right, so he's saying that if they're at war in Eretz Yisrael and their tefillah should go through the Beis HaMikdash and go all the way to you. But now he's asking for one step further. Pasuk Mem continues, "V'shamata Hashemayim es tefillosam es tchinosam asisa mishpatam." Right, and when they daven, you should listen to their tefillah. Then the next pasuk is talking about a different case, one step further. Mem vav ki echta uloch ki ein adam asher lo yechta. Right, obviously we know that. Or every person can chas v'shalom be chayta, and realistically speaking, it's going to happen that the Jewish people are going to be chayta. They're going to do the wrong thing, and chas v'shalom they're going to be taken as prisoners and be exiled outside of Eretz Yisrael. So now they're not close to Beis HaMikdash, then they're not davening the Beis HaMikdash anymore, right? If they're in Eretz Yisrael, they could daven, their tefillos can go through the Beis HaMikdash, but once they leave Eretz Yisrael, as fugitives or as prisoners, so Shlomo HaMelech is davening for this given situation, and they will be taken by the enemy. Right, they were taken as prisoners to the country of the enemy, either close or far. Right? So now, what's going to happen now? Three things. Three things are going to happen. Pasuk Mem Zayin continues. Ve'shivu el libam. First thing they're going to do is realize that they did the wrong thing. Right? Shivu el libam. Right? They're going to start doing tshuva. Baras ha'shanish b'sham. Right? Right? When they realize that this happened because they done the wrong thing, they're gonna start doing tshuva. And then, after they do tshuva, what are they going to do? They're going to daven in the place where they were taken. Right? Because what the pasuk over here stresses, they're going to daven to you from the country of their captors. And they're going to suffer from the fact that they're not in their own homeland. And they're going to daven to Hashem from the land of their enemies.
Oh, just like now. That's us.
Well, yes. I don't know if we can call, you know, America our enemies. You know, we're not prisoners
here. No. We're over here because of what happened way back then.
It's true.
All right.
But over here we're talking a situation where they're actual prisoners. Right, we're not prisoners. Right, we're free to go. We can go. We can get on a flight tomorrow to Eretz Yisrael and go there whenever you want. Right, there are direct flights right now from Boston to Tel Aviv.
Yeah, but we can do that. But yeah, years ago they couldn't do that.
That's true.
Not that many years ago either. I mean, the airplane is only 1900, and it wasn't perfected to what, 1920 or something.
You're right. But in today's day and age, in 2017, I don't think we're considered as prisoners, right?
No, it's more prisoners, you're slaves.
They
treat anyone as a prisoner. It was a slave. Everyone was a slave, basically.
Right.
We are prisoners of our environment.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Part of the Western culture.
Not everybody around. Not Jewish people. They don't grow up going to a yeshiva. They go to public school. They know any better.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's also being kind of a prisoner.
You're right. The problem is
you
that...
You can't change what's inside you, really, unless...
The problem with that kind of prisoner is that you don't even notice that you're a prisoner.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Right. That's it, yeah.
That's the problem.
Absolutely.
You don't know yourself. It's one thing if you know yourself. You're going to try to get out. You're going to try to escape. You're going to dive into Hashem, right? Please, Hashem, take and get me out of here, right? But right now, we don't even know that we're prisoners, right? We're stuck in this situation, and we don't even know it.
I remember that this man was says to me, the drug, he blows the only drug. He says, be back in Jerusalem, you know, next year. He says, I can hear.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I want to go?
Yeah,
no, like,
exactly.
No.
It's very sad. It's very sad.
Okay.
It's very sad. But so Shlomo Melech is talking about a situation where at least we notice, we realize, right? Hashem, the Jewish people are gonna beg you, Hashem, be'eretz sheyveihem, in the land of their enemies, because they realize they're not in their own land. They feel bad. They feel terrible that they're not in their land. They want to be in Eretz Israel, and they're not there, right? And they're going to say, "Leimer chatonu ve'vinu," right? We have sinned. Chatonu vinu rashanu, right? They're going to start saying vidui. B'shavei lecha b'chol levavim b'chol nafshem eretz yivayim. They're going to do full and complete tshuva. Again, notice that. The pasuk keeps on stressing that they're be'eretz oyveihem. The Jewish people notice that they're not in their own homeland. And that's what's bothering them so much, and that's what pushes them to do tshuva. Right now, the reason why we're not doing tshuva is because we don't realize that we're not in our own homeland. You have people who live comfortably in America. They don't want to move to Eretz Yisrael, right? They're very comfortable here. They don't want to go anywhere. Even though we have the possibility... Right, for the first time in 2,000 years, to live freely in our own homeland. But we don't want it. They say that Batz Mashiach should have come. We went through all the tsaras, all the klalas that we suffered, right? We went through everything, right? That part is taken care of. The only thing that's missing right now is the want. We have to want Mashiach to come, and that's what we're missing. We don't want Mashiach to come. We're happy. We're happy where we is. We don't realize what we're missing. We don't realize that when Mashiach comes, what the world is going to come to, the Tikkun HaGomor is the highest state of spirituality that the world has ever been. Even during the time of the Beis Hamikdash Rishon, the time of Beis Hamikdash Sheni, still we did not get to the level of Tikkun HaGomor. There are many opportunities along history where we could have come to Tikkun HaGomor, but unfortunately that did not come into play.
The thing that gets me is if he doesn't do that, so what? But that's Hashem should do that anyway. When people repent, Solomon has to tell them you should look at him. Okay, I mean that's the idea of repenting. What is he doing with it? It's written down here that he's saying this here, so God should listen to him. I mean...
Well, we're going to see that later on. There are some things that Shlomo Melech does not daven for. There's some things he asks for, and some things he doesn't, right?
No, no, it seems to be that he feels he has to ask for this.
Right, because if you wouldn't, it wouldn't happen.
Well, I feel, and I mean, all the time is, if he did something wrong, you do tshuva...
That's true.
I mean, why does he feel he has to daven this way here?
Well, what he's davening for is for that the tefillah should go through the Beis Hamikdash, even when they're not in Eretz Yisrael. And that's not so simple. You can't take that for granted.
All
right. Right? And meaning the tefillahs that go through the Beis Hamikdash are obviously much more powerful than any regular tefillah. Right? A tefillah you daven at the Kosel is different than the tefillah we daven here in Malden. You know, the shul here in Malden is, you know, very pure and holy, but it's not a kaisel. It's not the makom hamikdash. Where the tefillahs that we daven through the Beis Hamikdash are much more powerful. So now Shlomo Melech is davening that even when we're in the hands of our captors, in our land that belongs to our captors, our tefillahs will still be answered. They still go through Beis Hamikdash, and then they'll be much more powerful. Right, so let's continue. V'ispalu alecha derech artzam, right? They're going to daven to you through their land, through Eretz Yisrael. Shenasata l'avayisam ma'ir asher b'charto v'abayis asher b'nisi lishmecha. They're going to daven to you and through the house that I built that I built for you. B'shamato ha'shamayim b'choyin shiftecha estfilasam estchinasam v'osisa mishpatam. Right, and now you should listen to them, and you should forgive them. Let's continue the next passage. Now that they daven to you, you should forgive them for all the sins they have done. What is Shlomo Melech now davening for? He's not davening. Notice, he's not davening that they should return to their land. Why doesn't he daven? Okay, great. When they daven to you, they should return to the land and be able to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It's not what he's asking for. Right? Why not? Because he knows that it says in the Torah, meaning, once you do tshuva, right, and, excuse me, meaning, Shlomo HaMelech recognizes that Bnei Yisrael have to go through the process of the Galus in order to return to Hashem. Without going through the process of Galus, if the second they go, they're being captured by their enemy and taken away to a different country, if right away they daven and their tefillos are immediately answered, they return to their land, they're not going to go through that whole process of Galus, and they're not going to grow, they're not going to realize, they're not going to recognize that Hashem is the one who has to bring them back to the land of Israel. Right? They have to go through that whole process, and that's why Shlomo HaMelech is not davening for them to return to their land. He's just davening that they'll be their captors will be merciful towards the Jewish people. That they shouldn't torture them too much. They should have mercy on them. Right? Because the Geula can only come after that whole process, after the whole kalalas that Hashem promised the Jewish people would happen, after that takes place, after that is fulfilled, only then can Hashem bring on the geula. Before that, it can't happen.
What would they daven? There's no davening then. Did they say Shemar every day? They just put on a tefillin, towels and tefillin, and take
it off. That's a good question. There definitely was some kind of form of davening. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, in place of the karbanos,
that, right, they didn't, that they was only karbanos. Three times a year that they came, unless they came, they brought a korban for whatever. Thankful, come Shlema, but other than that, they didn't come to. There was no davening.
Right, but after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed.
That was after the second Beis HaMikdash that they.
Well, we're not limited to just davening shacharis, mincha, and maariv, because. If you have special needs, you have special prayers.
Yeah, you could daven whenever. Yeah, exactly. You could daven whenever you're in the time of need. Right.
They make up a prayer. Hey, God help me. Business isn't so good. The crops aren't coming in.
Yeah.
We need rain, and it wasn't. They weren't saying Tehillim. That was at the second Beis HaMikdash.
Mm-hmm.
There was really no set prayer book.
Right. Right. So let's continue. Pasuk Nun Aleph. Ki amcho v'nachla secho hem asher yetzeis mi-mitzrayim yitech kur ha-barzel. Right, they're your people that you took them out of Mitzrayim. So now, what's the reference here to Mitzrayim? So the Malbim explains that there is a difference between the status of the Jewish people before they left Mitzrayim and the status after they left Mitzrayim. Because before they left Mitzrayim, they were Jewish, but they were not yet considered to be the people of Hashem. They weren't Am Yisrael. They weren't a nation yet. They only became a nation the day they left Mitzrayim.
Before it was a family.
Right, before it was just, you know, the family of Yaakov, right? The Hebrews, right? They weren't a people. They weren't a nation. So, so therefore, there's a difference between the galus during when they were in Mitzrayim, and the galus that happens after they became Am Hashem.
Actually, they didn't realize they were in Golos until all Yosef died.
Well, yeah.
They weren't enslaved before then.
No, after all the brothers died.
No, that's what I meant. But
right.
When they, because actually, they didn't run down there, like go to the movie house or something. They stood where they're supposed to, and that was it. Once they started going over there, downtown, that's when they got in trouble. The Egyptians would have never had any this thought that they're going to end with somebody else. They seen me, they started going downtown, getting involved in all this stuff and everything else. You know, when you start getting involved in politics, so the guy who's in charge can think, hey, he's going to try to get overthrow me. That's what the people said. Hey, they might join them. See, they were getting. They're not staying where they're supposed to stay.
Mm. Right, exactly. That's what got them into trouble.
They didn't do everything right. That they only did, you know, what they could. You know, they were. Well, that over there. It's just like they would have been captured and made servants. That's what they he beguiled them.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't fight them to get in there. He beguiled them. He told them, "Hey, join up, help me build the builder the things and shovel themselves." And
yeah, that's how
they all come in. Oh well, yeah. Then he says, okay, that's it. Now you're not going to get paid anymore.
Right, and they kept count of exactly how many bricks each Jew is capable of baking. And that way they knew, don't tell me you can only bake 20 bricks. I know that when we were voluntary, I know that you can bake 50, right? So don't tell me you can't bake any less than 50.
Jews aren't too brave.
Jews aren't too brave.
Not. This Torah by the Jews, Chochmah felt, the Chochmah is lacking.
Right.
Don't be so enthusiastic about anything.
Yeah, that's true. So let's continue by
do everything in moderation.
Yeah.
When you start doing things in, you know, not moderation, and with zeal, you get yourself into trouble. You know?
Yeah.
You gotta go slow.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it is.
Jewish pamelech.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When he was doing this. Now, was this on all of the holidays, or was it just a plain day?
It was just a plain day. It wasn't a holiday.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see weiter. Pasuk Nun Beis. Liyeis anecho p'tuchois. May your eyes should be opened. El tchinas avdecha ve'el tchinas amcha Yisrael. Yishmai aleh mechol korom elecha. So Shlomo Melech is now davening that his eyes will be open. Not only should Hashem listen to the tefillahs that are being prayed in the Beis HaMikdash, but any time they daven to you, right? Doesn't matter if they're at war, if they're not at war, if they're captured, not captured. Anywhere in the world, the tefillah should always go through the Beis HaMikdash and go all the way up to Shemayim.
That's why we pray feast.
That's right. The route it takes.
What?
That's the route it takes.
Right. Right, exactly.
Even though you're outside outside Eretz Yisrael, it still goes from here to the Beis Hamikdash there, and then goes to Rabbeinu Shlomo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right, exactly.
I don't know, maybe try to include about, you know, me, I don't know how many people, while they're davening, their mind is someplace else.
Yeah.
I know. Somebody's saying, hey, he might be not supposed to be so, but listen to him anyway. He still means what he
right.
wants. You know, you say, yeah.
You know he has no kavana.
And davening and everything else. I'm not saying that only. That's what I said to him. All of us.
You're talking about me again.
I said all of us. I mean, so.
Right.
We need some help. We're not davening. We need some help over there. That's what he's saying here, I think.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Not only there, anytime.
Right. Anytime.
I mean, it's tough for people around here. They're born like me and you here. We went to public school. I went to public school. I didn't know anything about yeshiva. I mean, they're kind of religious. They have Pesach and everything else. But they have no realize about the religion at all, really, then. So you grow up. If you grow up like that, it's pretty tough to grab something else afterwards when you get folk anything else. So
right.
Sometimes you don't double with all the kavana you should. See, saying accept it anyway.
Yeah.
Look at better.
Right. Hopefully we'll get better.
Now I can understand why he's going through all this.
Right.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how many people really devil the way they're supposed to.
Yeah. We need all the help we can get. Yeah. Pasuk in Gimel. Ki ata yivdata l'chol anachol mikol ami ha'aretz. Right? You separated the Jewish people from all the other, every other nation. Kasher dibarto b'yad Moshe avdecho b'etziacho es avasinim mitzrayim Hashem alekim. Yeah. As you commanded Moshe. Meaning you should accept their davening because they're separate, because they're different than all the other nations of the world. That in and of itself should be a merit for them, for the tefillah to be accepted through the Beis Hamikdash. That's what he's now davening for. Okay, so this is the end. This is finally the end of the tefillah of Shlomo HaMelech. And now that the davening is over, what happens next? A party, right?
Yeah.
A big party, a barbecue, 1,000 oilas, right? 1,000 calves. There's a lot of meat. There's definitely a lot of meat at that party, that's for sure.
Did they eat any of those all?
Truth is, oilas means that it was all sacrificed, but I think they had some
leftovers.
They had some korbanos that they ate too. I believe. So let's see. Ve'ikachal Shlomo lispal al Hashem. It's called Tefila v'atchina asois. As Shlomo is now finishing to dive into Hashem, this nice, long, lengthy tefila. Kam milifnei mizbeach Hashem. He gets up, right? He was bowing this whole time. He was bowing down. It says he got up on top of the kiyar. He was sitting on the kiyar and he was bowing down as he was making this tefila, as he was davening. The kiyar. The kira was the big vessel of water.
Okay.
Yeah, so he stood up on top of that, and he was actually bowing down on his knees. So he's now getting up. Right, his hands were opened up to Hashem. He's bowing down, and he now finally gets up. He now gets up, and he gives a bracha. He gives a bracha to the Jewish people. What does he tell them? Baruch Hashem asher nosan menucha la'am Yisrael, k'chol asher diber. Right, we finally came to the menucha, we came to rest. Right, we went through many, many troubles, We went through Egypt. We left Egypt. We were traveling for 40 years in the desert. We came to Eretz Yisrael. We had many wars. We finally captured Eretz Yisrael. Then many years later, when David came, we captured Yerushalayim. Even after we captured Yerushalayim, we still had wars. This is the first time in the history of the Jewish people that there's actually peace. They don't have to go out to war. They don't have to shed blood. They don't have to fight their enemies. This is the first time in their history, right? We finally came to the Menucha. Right? Everything Hashem promised to Moshe Rabbeinu became true. Right? And as we mentioned before, the binyan, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, was not possible the whole time where the Jewish people did not have menucha, they did not have rest from their enemies. Right? So this is what...
Is this a requirement?
Yes, this is a requirement for the Beis HaMikdash to be built. There has to be peace from their enemies. And that's why this is what he's referring to, that everything Hashem promised Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning including the fact that we're going to have peace, we're going to win, we're going to defeat all our enemies, we're going to win the wars, that was part of what Hashem promised Moshe Rabbeinu. And now that came true, now we can finally, you know, rest assured and enjoy the binyan Beis HaMikdash. He Hashem Elokeinu imanu kasher hayim avasinu. May Hashem be with us, just like He was with our fathers. Ayas venu vali chenu. He should never leave us. Now, over here, he's referring to the fact that Hashem is with us. There's two ways that Hashem could be with us, and those two ways are as follows. When the Jewish people do something wrong, right? When they go off the derech, they sin, they leave Hashem's Torah. Hashem can deal with this situation in one of two ways. One way is that of what's called Hester Panim. Hester Panim means Hashem, so to speak, does not have His Ashgacha Pratis, does not have His divine presence in our lives. He does not take care of us as He used to. Not visible, right? For example, when we daven for Mashiach to come, what do we daven for? We daven for Keitz Hayomin, right? Not Keitz Hayomim with a mem at the end, which means the end of days. It's Keitz Hayomin, Yomin with a nun. What's that referring to? Keitz Hayomin is referring to the end of, Yomin means right. The end of the right, right? Meaning what? Hashem, when the Jewish people are doing the right thing, He acts with His right hand, so to speak, which is right is usually referred to the more powerful hand, right? So He acts with the Jewish people. He defeats their enemy with His right hand, meaning it's more powerful, more visible, like you were saying, Barry, more visible that Hashem is fighting our fights, right? Once we go into Golos, once we leave Hashem's way, we go into Golos, then Hashem, so to speak, has His right hand behind His back. Right, it's not as obvious, it's not as overt that Hashem is fighting our fights.
It could be happening anyway,
but it's not as clear. It's not being done with as much force as it was when Hashem was with us, with the Jewish people.
He's standing back and just watching what's going on.
Well, obviously Hashem is always involved in our lives.
Yeah.
But it's not always clear that Hashem is fighting our fights, that Hashem is literally fighting our enemies, right? So what we're diving for Keitz HaYomin is for the end of the right hand being behind Hashem's back. Again, all is a metaphor, but that Hashem's hand should not be behind His back. He should take His right hand in front of Him and fight our enemies the way He used to, in a more clear and overt fashion. It'll be obvious that He's with us. So now, that's one way, right? That Hashem, so to speak, hides his Ashgacha Pratis, his close and divine providence. Another way is that even when the Jewish people do the wrong thing, Hashem will still go ahead and take good care of them and show them many miracles, and through that, through that, the Jewish people will, so to speak, feel guilty that Hashem is taking such good care of them, even though they're sinning, even though they're going against Hashem, and that in and of itself will bring them to recognize that all their good comes from Hashem, and that will bring them to go back to Hashem, to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to do tshuva. And that way was the way where the Jewish people were dealt with when they left Mitzrayim. Right? When they left Mitzrayim, even though they were in Memtes Sharitumo, they were in one of the lowest states ever, but still Hashem showed them such overt miracles, and that's what brought them to Ve'aminu B'Hashem of Moshe Avdei. That's what brought the Jewish people to believe in Hashem, to believe in Moshe.
But how long did that last?
Didn't last long, you're right. But that we see that anhaga is possible even when we're so low.
But I wanted to ask you, in the middle of the parsha, this because all of a sudden he says, and the Jewish people made him mad. They want this fish, and they
right.
So when did this happen? I mean, just because it certainly could have happened before. Was it happened before they had the Mishkan or after they had the Mishkan? When they did all these things.
In the Midbar? That was while they had the Mishkan.
I mean, after the...
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems to... Yes, the people see all these things, Nasim and Mishma, and they meant it, and everything else, and all of a sudden their heads get torn by the Erevra, actually.
In other words...
What happens? I mean, how do they lose... How can you lose faith so fast?
In other words, right. you see, those who say, well, if I saw a miracle, I'd believe. So you say, well, we see miracles all the time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And it doesn't change anything.
From the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed, there's miracles. The tree is all sprouting. The apple tree is not producing oranges, and the fish are swimming around, and whatever, you know, it's all miracles.
The bottom line is that...
We just take it for granted, that's all.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Nature is a miracle.
Right.
Look, it's a miracle.
That's what's called the anhaga of Hashem. That's obviously Hashem performing miracles. Those are what's called hidden miracles, right?
Yeah.
People don't refer to them as open and overt miracles.
Well, because they
right?
used
it's not
to.
Obvious.
Is it because it happens
right.
every day. So you know,
right.
Use of these things. You grow up, somebody grows up now, whoa, a plane, nothing here. 100 years ago, they didn't even think about such a thing. It would be a miracle.
They landed
it's not a miracle now, but it's still a miracle that it works.
If you told right. your Zaidi that right. they were going to land on the moon, you'd say you're crazy.
Yeah.
It's not a miracle. they landed
it's a miracle.
On
the plane doesn't bob outside the atmosphere. It's a miracle.
Yeah, the Rambam talks about the fact that, you know, like anyone who says that, you know, like a big, giant bird, you know, made out of metal can fly in the sky is crazy, right? The Rambam himself says it, because in the times of the Rambam, that chachma was not available in the world. So during his time, it was...
The thing is, all these... Hashem made all these things.
Right.
People didn't know what to do with them until everybody discovered how to do different things from the things that were there, that were made by Hashem. And all of a sudden, they give them a little thing, and then I don't say people invent anything. That word invent to me is not good. To me is they discover how to make something. I don't call it inventing. They didn't make anything new. It was there. They just didn't know before.
It was
right.
through you know, all the things. They know how to make it. So
right,
they discover how to take this and put in this and this and make electricity, make this, make that, make fuel.
Right.
It was some years ago, the engineers at MIT so-called proof that a bumblebee couldn't fly.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. There you go. So the Zohar actually brings down that at a certain point, they talk about the year about like 100 years ago, and they say that, and they bring down that 100 years ago, the Mayanas HaChachma, the springs of wisdom, will open up, and when that happens, any scientist that's working in the field has the ability to, like you said, to discover the light bulb, right? Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. He didn't invent the light bulb. Once the Mayanas HaChachma, once Hashem opened up the gates of wisdom, anyone who was in that field had the potential, had the possibility of discovering
how
to do it, right? It's not that he was the one because he's so smart, he's so brilliant, right? It's only once Hashem puts that in the world that people can actually gain access to it beforehand. They can't gain access to it. And it didn't have to be any particular scientist. It could have been anyone. Just whoever works in that field has a possibility to do it. So over here he goes through the different the different ways that Hashem can perform can deal with the Jewish people sinning. So one way is through punishing them, and so they'll recognize that they had done something wrong. But the other way is to elevate them, like he did when he took us out of Mitzrayim, and to perform open and overt miracles. So through Hashem being with the Jewish people constantly, he's going to bring them to recognize in Hashem, and to know that he never left them. So now that the way what Shlomo Melech is davening for, he's davening for that Hashem should be with us just like he was with our fathers, meaning just like Hashem dealt with us when we were leaving Mitzrayim. Even though we sinned, even though we were in Mem Tashari Tuma, even though we were in such a lowly level, he still performed open and overt miracles to take us out of Mitzrayim. He split the sea for us, and he took us through the desert for 40 years. Just like that, Shlomo Melech is davening, so too nowadays, when the Jewish people sin, they do something wrong, Hashem should deal with us in the same exact way, and deal with us in a way where we see his Shekhinah, and we notice that he's there, and it'll be and he shouldn't punish us in order to get us back on track. That's what he's davening for. Let's continue. Pasuk Nun Ches. L'hatas l'vavenu elav, to gear our hearts towards him. L'leches b'chol drachov v'lishmar mitzvayisav v'chukoyisav v'mishpatov asher tziva tzavisinu. Right, to follow his rules, to follow his ways, just like he told our fathers, "Vayihu dvarai ele asher hizchanti l'vnei Hashem kreivim al Hashem alakenu yoimam v'layla." He's now doubting that his tefillah, his tchina. Again, last week we went through the different stages. There's tefillah, rina, and tchina. Everything. The first, you start with the praises of Hashem. Then you bring yourself to pour out your heart. That's the tefillah part. And then the tchina is actually asking for your own personal requests, on personal needs. And so what he's davening for, that is that the shefa of Hashem will be given in the way of Ashkacha Pratis. I mean, there's two ways for Hashem to be manig in this world. There's one way of Ashkacha Kelelas, meaning a general providence in this world, right? It says in Rosh Hashanah, every single thing in this world is decided, right? Every animal, every person, right? Jewish, non-Jewish, right? Every living creature is being decided on Rosh Hashanah what's going to be with him that year. Now, that doesn't mean that every single little bumblebee has Ashkacha Pratis, right? Obviously not. Obviously not the ant that's walking in the ground does not have Ashkacha Pratis. But what Hashem decides is the Ashkacha Kelelas, right? If it's that being, it's that creature, it's that entity bringing the life of Hashem, the light of Hashem into this world, and elevating Hashem's presence in this world, then that being will be slated to live. If not, then they'll be slated to die. But it's not being done in a very nuanced, detailed manner where every tiny little thing is being dealt with. Rather, it's more of a general picture. However, the way Hashem deals with the Jewish people is very different. We have what's called the Shkach HaPratis. Hashem has divine providence, and he deals with us on a daily basis, on a minute-to-minute basis. Hashem is right there on the scene, making sure that we will be well taken care of. So now he's davening that that his tefillah will be kroiva al Hashem, right? That my tefillahs lifnei Hashem kroiva al Hashem lakinu yomim v'layla. They'll be close to Hashem, meaning that we will be close to Hashem. Us as people, as the Jewish people, should be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through us being close to Him, Hashem will have Ashgacha Pratis on each one of us every single day, and take care of us on a very detailed level. Okay, we'll stop here. It's time for a minute.
We got a big party.